All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of August 22nd, 2001. Oh, no, 2011. We are not stepping back in time. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Fraker.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Okay, Mr. Freudenberg is absent. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we have a couple of changes to the agenda real quick. Number eight, we're just going to add an 8B for the Hope Center. Gene Miller is here. Gene Miller is here to speak to us tonight. Got it. On the Treasurer's Report, number 5, please add a 5C for student activity budgets that I know you all read. With.
I did.
And then, hold on here, number
5C or
6C? 6C. I'm sorry, 6C? Is mine different? Oh, that's minutes, right, 6C. All right, thank you. And then 17B, instead of 1909.50, it needs to be 2068.50. That's all the changes I had.
What was that last one?
17B. Change the number from 1909.50 at the end to 2068.50. Okay. Anybody have any additions, changes, deletions to the agenda? Okay.
So then move.
Second. Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr.
Lassiter. Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, the High Point Report.
Well, story for this month is superintendent interviews, and we actually hired one this month. So we had three meetings, or three separate days for interviews. Mm-hmm. After the first round of interviews, we narrowed it down to one guy that we wanted, and we figured if that didn't work out, we would probably go with an interim. And after the second interview, it worked out, and that same day we kind of worked on the contract and into agreement, and then we had a special meeting last week to hire him so that he could resign at the end of the month.
Oh, so you don't need an interim?
No. Well, we had, Kim had resigned in June,
right?
So her last day was in July, so we had an interim. We already had hired an interim, but he was flexible in terms of how long he'd stay. He said, I could stay a month, I can stay a year, however long you need us, he was there for just short of a month, I think.
Gotcha.
He's a pretty sharp guy. He's probably going to be reaching out to you soon. One of the big things that we were looking for is somebody who's going to work with the home districts and try to promote High Point in those areas. So I think that's going to be on the top of his list. He's going to be commuting from Delphus for the first year, so it's like an hour drive every day.
From and where?
Delphus.
Oh.
Delta City Schools. So that's the big deal. And then first day of school for new students is tomorrow. And then the first day of school for seniors is Friday.
Hmm.
So we kind of let the new guys get oriented. And
what's the new superintendent's name? I'm sorry.
No, that's right. It's just slipping my mind right now.
His last name is Price, I believe.
Yes, Jeff Price. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right.
That's it.
That it? Great. All right, thank you. Legislative report.
Not much is going on. They're having some subcommittee and study committee is going on right now, but they're not scheduled to be in session until September 13th, both the House and the Senate.
Gotcha. All right. That it?
That's it.
All right. Fantastic. Next up is public participation. Anybody like to address the board tonight?
Sir? You want me to stand?
Or? Oh, you can stand or sit. You don't have to. Whatever's comfortable for you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just I just had some things I wanted to address this evening, if I could. The reason why I'm here wearing a hat of the department chair of mathematics for the high school, and I respect the chain of command. I just feel a sense of urgency to bring some things to your attention.
Just so everybody can home, you are?
Rich Holton.
Thank you. I know who you are, but I just want to make sure.
I'm not planning on making a habit of this, but there are just some things that, again, I just feel like I need to do. I appreciate the job that you're doing and your attempts to balance the budget. I've got some information I'd like to provide. I don't mean these by way of criticism, but just by way of some information. At the last meeting I was at, it was mentioned that there was $300 for the 7th grade football uniform, and that particular number struck a nerve with me because that's the amount of the high school math department budget for the coming year. And I'd like to give you a brief idea what this means for us. In terms of a year, in a normal year, we'd use about 1,200 dry erase markers. The best price I found recently was $8.97 for a dozen. That's about $900. So we're $600 short just in dry erase markers. Then in other supplies for 12 teachers within our department, normally we would go about $200 to $300. So we're $900 short just from that standpoint without adding up other things. With the dry erase markers, typically what we would do is we would be using those to send students to the board. It gives a teacher a nice opportunity to see an entire class working on some things, gets the kids out of their seats. You understand the drill. It'd be something in an Algebra 1 or Algebra 2 class that we would really like to do. This is going to input or affect our ability as far as instructing those particular students. Plus, one other advantage, when they go to the board, it gives them an opportunity to work with somebody else at their beside. Now, there's some other long-term types of expenses. Our overhead projectors are getting pretty old. To replace one, it would be about $200. I've tried to be conservative with some of these numbers. But a new low-end type in-focus machine would be $400. So do we spend money to get an overhead projector, or do we look at getting an in-focus machines, which I think we could use in pretty much each of the math rooms? What I do currently, as far as the classes that I teach, I use what's called an overhead calculator, where I work the calculator, put a thing on the overhead projector, and it shoots the display up on the board so the students can follow along as they're doing some things. I came across some software a couple years ago, a workshop that I went to for a newer calculator that's out. You've got to like the name. It's the TI Inspire. It's pretty inspiring. One of the things that's really nice about it is it isn't just, I don't know that I would say it's more powerful mathematically, but students are able to interact with things so much more and investigate. And what happens is there's some software that's out with this that not only shoots the display of the calculator, but it also shows the keypad. So it saves time in instructing because they can see what the display is supposed to look like, but they also see the keys that you're pushing. So it saves some time, which is also an issue that I'll get to more in just a moment. Mm-hmm. So to be able to use that software effectively, we would need projectors. And at some point in time, I think each of the teachers in the math department could benefit by having one of those. I didn't want to bring one of those with me because I knew that it would be in such demand that no one would want to leave and another business to try to take care of. So if you're interested, I'd be happy to show you how that works. I'm sincerely excited about it. I just think it's a really neat thing. It's a fun thing to deal with. We have access to the new state math standards. However, we've not been told what type of assessment tool they're planning on using yet. I think that's supposed to come out this fall. A few years ago, we field tested the end of course exams in Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. Those tests were comprised of a non-calculator section as well as a calculator section that used graphing calculators. If we're going to start using graphing calculators with freshmen and sophomores in algebra and geometry, are we going to require students to buy those, parents to buy those? That's another $95, $100 a piece. Or are we going to have classroom sets available? And the classes that I teach, we typically use that type of instrument just about every day. Algebra 1, geometry, I'm not sure that we would. So, what are we going to do to address those kinds of costs? I've had an opportunity. I may not look like it, but, I've taught for a number of years now. And I had the opportunity when I started teaching calculus to attend some AP conferences. I've been able to go to conferences with the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, Ohio Council of Teachers of Mathematics. We've not had the opportunity to do those kinds of things. And with newer folks moving into some of those classes, that's going to be something that's very important for them to do. It was very beneficial for me, and I would like them to have that same kind of opportunity. Our textbooks are getting pretty old. Our Algebra 1 books are starting their 8th year, Geometry 7th, Algebra 2 6th, Pre-Calc 6th, and Calculus 5th year. If the average cost of a textbook is $100, give or take some of the higher level classes, the calculators are more than that. Just to give you an idea of an overall cost, if we replaced every textbook this year, that would cost us $160,000. Now, I know that you're fully aware that the math department is only one slice of this puzzle. And we've been cut severely. And if we've been cut severely, I think everybody in, throughout the district, if you check with various departments, I would be pretty sure that they're on the same boat. And again, this is not meant by way of criticism. It's just I think the folks that are managing the money are doing the best they can. In my opinion, this is the editorial comments now, I think we need more money. I just don't think we can get to where we need to get as far as trying to maintain excellence by cutting or trying to shift the current dollars that we have. We can't keep cutting instructional amount, and to me, our most valuable resources are teachers. I don't think we want to cut staff members, look at severely cutting salaries, those kinds of things. I just really don't feel like that's the way to go. And so all of that put together, you can kind of see, at least for me, because I grew up here and taught here for a number of years, this is more than just a job for me, and I think that's true of a lot of us. I think that's why we get the results we get, because we're passionate about what we do, whether it's somebody that just hired in, and we've hired in some good folks in our department, or you've been here for a while, some of us that are more seasoned, I'd rather say that, we're still pretty passionate about what we do. But as I look at leaving at the end of this year, I want those other folks to have some of the same opportunities that I've had. I guarantee they've got the desire, and I know they've got the ability. They just need the resources. So, I'd ask you to consider, at some point in time, a levy. Just simply from the standpoint of, I know that that's not a popular thing, and times are tough. But the voters deserve an opportunity to make a decision on something like this. If you never put it to them, then they can't tell you whether they think we're doing a good job or not, whether we need additional resources. And I'm sure that that's not something you would look forward to doing, but I just, if I could nudge you in that direction to have some discussions, to look at what are some things that we can do to increase our funding, that would really be something that I would ask you to do. I thank you for your time, and again, if you've got any questions, I'd be happy to answer anything that I can.
Did you have questions?
I have a lot of questions. Rich and I go way back. He's not as old as what he really is. I think he is. So. But the overhead projectors, when you said in focus, you're talking about...
Yes.
Okay, so that's in focus, just a brand, right?
Yeah, that's a brand name. LCD I didn't projector. Want to confuse that with LCD projector would be a better term.
Yeah, I went to a couple of the... schools today, and I was kind of shocked to still see the old overhead. But that's old.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know they still made them.
We've got some from the old high school that used to be the new high school.
Yeah, I didn't know you can still buy. How much is a bulb for one of those when it goes out?
The old ones? Well, the overhead projector bulbs aren't that expensive. There may be $5 to $8, I'm thinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It's the old InFocus machines. Those were about $400.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A newer InFocus LCD projector that we purchased, the replacement bulb was $90. It's 4 or 5 years old, but last October, the power supply went out, and it was going to cost us $400 to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just,
and again,
I know
thinking
that.
That's true of K-12. Yeah. I think that's what we're looking at, not just high school.
Last week I had someone come in to do some training from Ohio High Point, and they were asking for an overhead projector, and I said, a what? So, and I understand your concerns about that. I definitely think that all classrooms ought to have some kind of a more modern
equipment.
I mean, that'd be nice to have.
Well, and I'd say I wouldn't even want to get into that, because to me, there's things that we need.
No, I know. I'm just saying, if I were to dream...
And there's a whole other side as far as what we would like to have. Right now, I'm just looking at, can we get back to where we used to be?
Exactly.
Where was it? I mean, just to give, put some numbers to the, how much the budget's been cut and over what period of time?
Normally, in terms of operating kinds of things, I could count on $1,500 somewhere in that neighborhood, just as far as regular kinds of things. Then in terms of graphing calculators, and I don't know how Larry and the treasurer did it at those times, but if we needed some sets of graphing calculators, which we'd have some older TI-83s, they would find a way to get them. I don't know where that came from, but they would find a way. So typically, as a department chair, I felt like if I could make a case for something, it would be funded.
Right.
And those aren't the things, again, we wouldn't be asking for that every year, but we're going to need an influx of money. And that's where, you know, several years ago with Matt Crispin, you know, I said, I'm not asking for a lot of money now, but when we need it, we're going to need a chunk. And then here's the situation.
And do you have a total on some of
the... No, I just, I didn't want to bother you with too many numbers. I mean, I love numbers myself.
So, but if you, you know, you mentioned several things. You said... You know, definitely like the dry erase markers. I understand those go fast, and it's no fun trying to show something when the marker's not working. And you know, but that and overhead projectors, textbooks. And, I mean, if you had to had a wish list and prioritize them, I mean, where would that fall?
Well, some of that to me also would be, it makes sense to me, and this would be the folks that do more purchasing, like with an LCD projector, I would think we'd be better off trying to do those in chunks, as far as one department one year, another department another year, so that you have the same kind of bulb. And we've got with overhead projectors, I'm not sure how many different bulbs that we have to buy to try to replace those just within our department, let alone, you know, other folks throughout the building. But I would think, you know, phasing in or getting a chunk of money for the LCD. And the textbooks, I think, are going to be pretty important in the next year or two, but I would think they would be changing because of the new standards. Like right now, this coming year, our pre-calc and calc books, even though they're a little bit, you know, they have some age on them, they're not as old as the lower level books, there's an online component that's available that we have a $13 student fee that we're charging for students to get some online help, homework that's tied to the textbook. And we don't have that option available right now in a good way for the algebra, geometry, algebra 2. So when we go to look for new books, that to me would be something that I would think would be a nice component. But that for us is normally about a two-year process. I mean, we're going to look at several books, see how it compares with what we're doing now, how it meets the state standards, and then what kind of resources are available in terms of teaching that. In fact, some, you know, one of the classes I teach at Columbus State, it's an online book. They don't even use hardback book. I mean, that's really not that uncommon. Whether we would do that or not, I don't know, because I'm not sure the percent of our students that have easy access to computers.
Would it be possible, I know our retreats get loaded up, but I don't understand how, I guess how, I know we approved temporary appropriations, and I know we approved final appropriations in October, and I look at the five-year forecast, I assume these would all be supplying material costs. And I see that line item going up, so I'm just kind of thrown back by the fact that while we're seeing that go up in our forecast, that, you know, the math department budget's cut $1,500 to $300. That's a huge cut.
Well, that's over a couple of years.
Well,
I mean, that wasn't just right, like from last year.
Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm just trying to understand it from our own perspective. It would be helpful, unless you know it, I think it would be good for the board to understand how that all kind of flows through. And
we can certainly add that to the discussion.
Because, I mean, that's kind of concerning when you think, I mean, it's the core of what we do here is
no question.
Those departments, and if their budgets are getting cut by 70% over 2 years, 3 years, wherever, cut at all, for that matter, especially when you're talking small dollars compared to the overall budget, it just seems a little bit, concerning. So.
Well, the issue is, really, you saw last meeting, we've had the same dollars for 3 years.
You're talking revenue. Right.
Same dollars.
Right.
If that's what you have, you know, your expenditures can't exceed that. And they have exceeded that because we had a carryover. Mm-hmm. So what you do is basically you have to reduce.
And that's where I was, the only thing I'm trying to reconcile is that with the fact that the supply materials have gone up.
And then the other, you know, the issue, you know, we've been able to pull like textbooks and graphing calculators and those kinds of things out of the PI dollars. Well, the PI dollars are shrinking. so you don't have as many resources to buy textbooks. Mm-hmm. We haven't bought textbooks for the math probably 4 years.
Yeah, well, you know, the calc books are 5 years old, and I think our stat books are a little bit.
So, you know, that's the dilemma that we've been in. It, and again, it started about 5 years ago with the reduction of tangible. When that started declining, we haven't been able to match the growth that we've been in. We've been basically just sustained.
Well, will that same thing be for the history department since
same
that
thing,
legislation
same thing.
Has changed?
Not,
they're going to need.
We have not kept pace. We just haven't had the dollars to keep
books.
We just haven't.
Now, we
for
didn't.
That.
I mean, still textbooks come out of PI, even though PI is in trouble.
Textbooks.
So, like on the forecast, we don't have textbooks anymore.
No.
We don't.
No.
And that's all I want to get at, because, you know, we went from 1,000,011 to
so what,
four,
you just
1.4 million in 2012. That's a 40% increase.
Yeah, that was based on projection increase.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand that.
And you've got
increase with respect
that
to
increase, any increase more than likely is going to come through your fuel and those things that we have to. The other things we've had to cut back in order to cover
sure.
fuel costs and the things that we have to do.
And that's all I'd like to know.
I think what you're asking is you want to know the stuff that Rich is talking about, where that comes out of our forecast. Wherever it comes out of our budget, period.
Well, I think I understand it comes out of supply and materials. I just don't understand how we...
Some does. Some comes out of our PI.
The textbooks I was talking about is regular budget, supply and material budget.
Well, most of what he was, you know, even...
Yeah, about to say, what are those?
That's
PI.
Yeah, understood. But the 1,500 to 300 bent by itself is kind of a concerning item, wouldn't you think? 1,200, yeah.
So what is it exactly you want to see at that retreat? I just want to make sure we get your
question. I want to understand the supply and materials line item,
okay?
Because that does come out of supply and materials, and you know how we come to the conclusion that, or how we came to got from a $1,500 budget to a or $1,300 budget to a $300 budget in the math department, and
probably any department. I assume.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
based on what the principals give us.
And it's based on the resources that are available,
yeah.
And given the absolutes that where you have to spend, and the non-absolutes, basically become reductions.
I just
in order to balance the budget, we haven't had the resources. We just haven't.
I just like to understand the details of it more, I guess. And if I'm the only one, then that's fine. I can just meet with Cindy individually. We don't have to waste time in the retreat for that.
No, I'd like to see it too.
Yeah.
Cool. I think all of us would.
We'll add that to the retreat. Yeah. Just spend the night.
I was going to suggest that.
Was there anybody else? I'd like to address the board.
Got a question. Mm-hmm. One final question. I think it'll help them out. Could we wait until you do the discussion about football? Because we got a couple minutes.
Before we start a line item for what?
On the middle school football discussion. You got that as an agenda item.
Yes, I do.
Prefer to wait until then.
Right, okay.
Is that right?
Is that same for?
For football.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
It would be easier to get it.
Okay. Was anybody want to talk about something other than middle school football? Right now. All right, then I'm going to move on. What?
We need them to fill out the forms. It's doing public participation.
Okay, yeah, if you're doing public participation, if you'd fill out at some point one of those forms over there. So we can get you on record. We keep track of you.
We keep track of you.
Hunt you up.
All right, next up is the minutes from our July 25th regular meeting. As I'm sure you've all scoured over those. Are there any changes to those? If not, I need a motion to approve them, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraser.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lasker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, the Treasurer's Report.
Short, sweet, to the point. We have started the new fiscal year. Received our tax settlement about the same as last year, and I'm just going to let it go at that. Any questions you might have, I'll take them.
All right, so we have our expenditures, the financial statements, and then were there any questions on the student activity budgets since we tagged those on at the end? No questions?
Nope.
Nope? Okay. Then I move we accept the treasurer's report, A through C, as submitted.
Second.
Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up,
and again, and this is just real quick. I've sent out all the information on the pilot study for superintendent evaluation procedure. You have the goals, the ones that were out there and ones that were met. You have also all the backup material, all the evidence there that support each of those. So if you have, again, I don't take a lot of time tonight because at the next meeting, I think we'll take more time with that.
Now he's done. John couldn't come tonight because he was in a car wreck. So apparently that kept him from coming. So so next month we're going to review this and then we're going to do the summary review of those and do the form and
correct.
He'll kind of guide us through that last part.
Correct.
And then we will also at our retreat be talking about our goals for next year. Correct. Right. And that'll be part of the discussion there. And then I suppose we could approve those at our next regular meeting. Is that correct?
That's up to you.
Okay. So that'll at least get that ball rolling for next year.
I did have one question.
Yes.
About the technology program at Creekview. Is there any update? Or is it still the same? It
takes a staff member to do. We don't have a staff member. We don't have the funding to employ a staff person.
That's a full-time regular person in order to do that. Now, it was my understanding they were next. I mean, that's kind of the next thing on the list if we fell in.
If I were to add back,
yeah,
that would be where I would be starting. But right now, I don't think, given what I know in the budget, and given what I know is coming, given what I know I sent out to you today about a future possible reduction of local taxation, and maybe backwards some funding, I don't know how we can do it. You know, we reduced approximately 20 staff members last year, and that was one. And in order to add it back, it's going to take some dollars. And I'm not, you know, if you take those dollars, I'm not sure where they're going to come from. So that's, I mean, I don't like it. I hate it. But I mean, I think we have to stay firm and kind of move through the waters, as rough as they may be and as difficult as they may be. But you know, if I were to add it back, we reduced a math teacher at high school. We reduced two English teachers. We have just fewer classes being taught overall. So, and we have more kids. So. I mean, it's kind of the situation where we're in.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions on that? All right, then we'll look forward to that discussion next one.
If you have any questions, please let me know.
Yes, that was. It's nice to read all of that 400 and some pages of evidence.
I bet it was.
I did read it all. I read it all. I'm not lying. I read it all. All right.
I think it's a good process. I think it's a process that probably is one that administrative. It's probably the one that we'll end up modeling for all employees, actually, because it, not only you have to establish goals, but you have to establish evidence.
We were.
And it makes some sense.
Do you think there was benefit to that? Because I was reading through it and it seemed like
absolutely
you would get a lot of benefit from
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And plus, you can be reflective also. You can actually, you know, it's.
Well, it's a good way to communicate to everyone.
You can actually see, you know, what it was when you did it, all those kinds
that
of things throughout the year.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when we were talking to the ESC folks last week, I don't know how many different presentations they were on their way to do in that week and the next week for different districts that are doing this as well.
Cool. It's just out of High Point, you got the 14 different districts there and being locked in a room for these superintendent interviews. I got to know each of them a little bit differently. And it's just, I was surprised at how many districts kind of shy away from that system, saying, well, the old system works good enough. And it just, I mean, because on the surface it looked like it would add a lot of value. And then looking back now and looking at your plans and, you know, just unless you're, I'm sure you were kind of already doing some of that, but just to have it all in one place.
Yeah, we were already, it was actually not that difficult to do some of the summary we had to add on to, but we were already doing a lot of it anyway. Yeah. But it formalizes it.
Yeah.
So I think there's an advantage.
Right, I think it's
and definitely moving forward. You know, for whoever sits in the seat next, I think it makes an awful lot of sense. Plus, they have a history.
Yeah, that helps.
It's a good conduit between the board and the administration as well, I think.
It is.
And I don't. And honestly, I don't think that old 1-5 checklist. I don't think that helps anybody. To be honest with you, I just don't.
I agree.
You'll find out. All right. Next up is middle school football. I'll turn that over to you. That was your agenda item.
Requested to that we had some community members who would like to address this issue.
Bruce, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Sorry. My name is Nikki Atkins, and the reason I came tonight is my son was one of the ones that got cut from the football team. However, he was offered a team manager position, so I was grateful for that. I did have a meeting with the coaches prior to discuss if there was anything as a parent that we might be able to pull together and help out with. I was explaining some budget cuts and things like that. So I spoke with Mr. Powers, who's the seventh grade coach, and have been looking into doing a parent boosters for the middle school for the football team. I feel that this would be a benefit to, you know, the participants at the middle school, and let's see, get all my information. By doing this, I think it would allow us to support the middle school football program as parents, to be able to support our children, as well as to help promote our fan sport, spirit, sportsmanship, and team unity, as it would also allow the enhancement of benefits and safety to our student athletes beyond the school district's budgets. I think this is where we might be able to, I think this is where we might be able to offer some assistance. So when there are budget cuts, as parents, we can step up. We can offer fundraisers and help give that leadership and guidance that may not be out there or available from the school side of things. I did look into it, and obviously with the approval of, it helps if we have the approval of at least the school board, and that way we can work hand in hand with either the athletic director or principals, vice principals, coaches, for any materials that they may need that may go outside of the budget that is going on by the school district. So I'm just kind of coming to present. I would like an opportunity as a parent and as a parent of a senior in high school that understands how important the middle school sports programs are to our athletes, as well as the ability to have them to reach their academic eligibility for, I think that helps push some kids with the academic eligibility. So therefore, I'm just asking that, you know, I have consent to proceed with doing a parent boosters for the Marysville Middle School, and then that may also open up an opportunity for basketball, track, and all of the other different sports, like what we do at the high school.
Sure. I'm full support of that.
I thought there already was one.
No, I don't think there's one at the middle school. Is there?
Middle school boosters, but it's all sports combined to one instead of having, they do one general fundraiser from my understanding. They do a magazine fundraiser that goes towards, it's split amongst all of the sports. So if you have one of the parents that I was speaking to in football sold like $800 in magazines, and that goes into the general booster fund instead of having it go, you know, directly to the football sports. I know that there are potential state budget cuts coming down that may eliminate the middle schools in general, as well as I know in years past it's kind of been a concern of the high school sports going away as well. And I think with the boosters, on the level, I sat on the quarterback club for the high school football and am involved as a parent doing fundraisers. And I know that if they did away with that, there is enough money in the account that we could potentially transfer that money into a booster program and still offer the sport, even though it may not be directly, you know, associated with the sport. It would be more of a club sport.
Can you just give me a little hint? I mean, my kids were in band, so I'm not 100% sure how the sports boosters work, but there's an umbrella, like at the high school, There's an umbrella one, is that correct?
Correct.
But yet there's still football booster specific things, is that correct?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking to do?
Yes.
Okay.
And I did speak to Russ Jones, who's the president of the Monarch Athletic Association, which is the large umbrella.
At the high school?
Yes.
Okay.
And he has agreed that if the middle school wants to, you know, start adding boosters for various sports programs, that they would be able to operate under that same 501c3 and tax identification numbers, as is volleyball, track, tennis, soccer, and all of the other, I believe there's 18 different arms.
And do you get any help from the high school boosters?
No, sir.
The middle school?
They have in the past.
In the past, there was when Bingo went away.
Right.
Then the support from the high school.
I was just curious if there was going to be, if there was going to be friction there, you know what I mean?
No,
if they did get assistance.
In case our middle school has asked for some of those funds,
right,
from MAA and MAA.
That's.
So is there any reason why, Larry, we couldn't support this?
Nope.
What do they have? Does she have to file for the 501c first for us to approve it, or what do they need from us?
As long as they go through and channel all the dollars through MAA, which is a 501c3 organization,
right,
they don't have to apply and jump through all the hoops for that. It's a bookkeeping within the organization, within the
right
funnel, that silo, and then that silo then feeds to a bigger silo, basically. You know, essentially that's how it works.
Okay.
But it would be very doable. I mean, I would encourage it. You know, as somebody who coached the middle school level, and I want to see kids participate. You know, what we have right now is not where we need to be. And we have fewer kids that have opportunities this year to participate for the very first time in a long time. And it's, you know, I don't like it at all. But we had to make some decisions. I mean, we have 24 fewer athletic or overall supervisors that were funded by the board. That cut some participation in some areas, but we had a tough decision we had to make because we had fewer dollars.
As a member of the quarterback club, the parent booster for football on the high school level, you know, we voted in $10,000 to be able to
right
pay
you
for coaches.
You funded some coaches.
Yes,
correct.
So the boosters was able to fund coaches,
correct,
to keep them on,
correct,
which in turn, you know, could have possibly allowed for different funding to go, you know, other places. So I just think that it would be a benefit.
So there shouldn't need to be any action from the board, because that's
separate.
I mean, I don't. That's your. But I mean, if you're looking for consensus from the board, I can't imagine anybody at the table wouldn't be ecstatic about it.
The only thing they need to follow the rules of MAA, and then they need to make sure that they're doing things according to IRS rules.
Yeah.
The IRS rules are. You know, we got notice today on booster groups within IRS. You know, again, they're being very stringent and paying a lot of attention to kids getting individual benefit from booster clubs and not claiming it as income. So that is going to have to be, we just have to be very careful that boosters clubs are not board.
No, we want to stay out of that.
But we're close enough arrangement that we do have to pay attention.
Right.
You know, I sent all that, you sent it out today, I sent it out also to folks, just making sure that they're being reminded that there are IRS rules.
So I was just trying to get a consensus to make sure.
Again, I don't think you'll have any issue with any of us. You definitely wouldn't from where I sit. You know, I fundraised for like crazy for years and years. And you know, I at the middle school level, it should be about participation. I like the B teams. You know, I know a lot of folks, you know, they were hot and cold about those. From my standpoint, it gave kids participation opportunity. At the middle school level, that's where it should be, because some of your best middle school kids don't end up being your best high school kids. They fall in love, buy a car. There's just lots of things that go on there. But it's something that Steve Devine came to me years ago and started at that middle school level, wanted more participation, and it made sense to to me, and we funded it for years and years. This year we couldn't. And it's just kind of where we are. It's kind of like math materials. It's fewer teachers and so on. It's, we have, as a community, we have to grab a hold of it and say, you know, what do we want? What do we want for our kids?
Mr. Zer, let me give you an example.
Say who you are.
My name's Kevin Brandfast. I have a daughter that's in middle school, one that's going to be a freshman. My freshman daughter never made the A team in 7th grade or 8th grade volleyball. She made the B team, which was probably the right place for her. They had 20 girls try out for the freshman volleyball team this year. It consisted of the girls that played on the A team as well as those on the B team. 6 girls from that B team made the freshman volleyball team. 1 girl even made the JV team. Without B teams, we'll never have that number again, because you cut them in 7th grade, they'll probably find something else to do.
And some of that something else they're going to find to do, we don't want them to find.
Right.
Yeah.
Also. So, I mean, that's always been my argument. And again, I've, those of you who have heard me say this, I apologize, but 40 years of being around kids tell me one thing: kids will be busy. And if you don't have things for them to do, they're still going to be busy. I'd rather control their busy. And that's the part about athletics and organized activities that the schools can provide that really benefit the entire community. Because if you don't have kids busy, they're going to be, they're going to cost your community some money also, because they're going to get into some trouble. They're going to be unwanted pregnancies, all those kinds of things that just go along with that, and you have to keep kids busy.
Right.
So,
and I do want to thank you for picking up the ball and really kind of filling that need. That this, you know, honestly, we need that.
It's for the kids. And
absolutely.
I think that's what we're all
doing. Yeah. And since I'm fairly certain you're my next door neighbor,
yeah.
If when you start fundraising, you make sure you come out to my house and we'll buy whatever you're selling.
Your
I'm buying. That's since I moved out of my other neighborhood, I shafted my neighbor, so I'll be more
happy. The thing about fundraising is that I think we all have to be careful about stepping on everybody else's fundraiser.
Well, and that's where I would go through the MAA.
Right.
I know the high school offers,
correct.
The MAA has to approve all fundraisers,
correct.
Just so we're not duplicating.
Absolutely.
That type of thing. So, you know, obviously we would follow all of the MAA guidelines on that aspect as well to make sure that we're not duplicating and
yes.
Overwhelming our community with fundraisers.
Correct, absolutely, because we will hear about that.
Okay. I have a question for Bruce, first of all. I know he's not speaking or anything. How many kids were cut from the middle school?
28.
How many?
28 altogether.
28.
That's what I talked about.
And did we have a larger number of kids trying out this year?
Actually,
football's never been a tryout. It's always,
well,
always play.
When I first saw the article, and I coached in middle school for 10 years, I coached Legion baseball, and I'm not here to criticize anybody. I know Larry is, you've always been behind sports and extracurriculars. But when you say it, it's extracurriculars, because it includes the math club, the ski club, and everything else that we try to do.
Calculator.
I mean, it's, you know, all of it, whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry.
No, that's a
but thing. The when I read it at first, Karen read it and she said, "Well, this I didn't want to read it because it just I was very very upset because from the standpoint is you're giving kids an opportunity one to try something they like, one to try something that may be new to them, and one to try something that they're with their friends. And it was disheartening from the standpoint to use the word cut. Now all sports cut, you know, it's common in a lot of the other sports." But in middle school football, it was never, in my tenure, and as far as I know under Rich Weiskircher, he just said no cuts in middle school. Okay? And I truly feel that if it was brought out a little bit earlier, because they know about the numbers roughly in May, because they go over, Bob goes over to the middle, or the intermediate school, how many kids are coming out of football, they have a couple meetings, they knew the numbers were going to be high. I felt that if something, my contention was if something was maybe pushed out into the public a little earlier, something could have been done along those lines to raise the funds necessary to have this sport and not have to cut any kids. Because I can tell you right now, You know, I know kids were crying. I know that the coaches felt like crying. And it's a shame from that perspective. You know, I think a booster club, a Bunsell Athletic Association, is a good idea. I'd be more than happy to do a 1025 for the filing and everything for you guys. You do have to work in conjunction with the MAA, but you should not be part of the MAA because for various different reasons. But you still have to work in conjunction. You can't do, you know, so I can get the legal formation from Steve Urasik to do that for you. So. But it's not about numbers when you're talking about these kids. We've taken away something from these kids that they may never get back. Because I will tell you that probably half of those seventh graders that will not try out for the eighth grade team. And what was always nice for us was to see if we had 45 kids on the eighth grade team, that 45 kids went up and tried out, or they were on the freshman team. It was nice. I think this year's senior class had by far the largest freshman class ever. They had like 85, and there's still 35, 36 of them still playing football. And that's amazing. But it carries through to all the other sports. The problem is once you do something like this, you have to be consistent in your application in the future. So what happens next year if you're short one uniform? Are you going to cut one kid? You would say no, but that becomes a problem. And I think if I would have known about this a little bit earlier, I would have looked at it from a different perspective on the finance committee and the recommendations that we gave you guys, because we didn't want anything to be cut there. You know, we said keep it all if you can. You know, keep it all. But I would have looked at it a little bit differently from the how I thought of thought process, because I probably would have went to the eighth grade more than the seventh. But even at that standpoint, if somebody knew this a little bit more up front, in the general public, I think we could have done something about it. And it's because, you know, when you really get down to it, your product is those kids. You keep them off the streets. You know, football at the middle school, and I will say this with all my heart, it was a year-long experience for those kids that we coached, because we never let them go, because we did something with them all the way through the spring. You know, and Boss Mintz is very, very good about that. We did Super Bowl parties. We did stuff in the winter. We did all kinds of great things with these. We had our coaches' games, but we did it all year long. And those kids pretty much, like when our season went in, they'd still go down to the locker room to hang out because they expected something to go on. And those guys up there, they do a great job. But I can tell you that none of them liked having to do that. So, you know, next year you may not get as many kids going out because they're going to say, I don't want to have a risk of getting cut. I think one of the things that bothered me the most, you had your mandatory practice was 2 days. They had to be there for that. Some kids weren't there for the camp. Okay, because they're at the fair, they're showing stuff at the fair, or they're on vacation with their family. Where, you know, a couple of guys said to me, well, I didn't see them long enough, so I couldn't evaluate them. Well, the evaluation days was here, and you had a pretty strict code. They did call middle schools to find out what they've done and how to cut kids. I don't know who they called, but I know that they did that. They did it all. They did a good job. But football is a game of hitting, and you are never going to be able to evaluate a football player unless you see the pads. I don't know how you could have done that. It's just if you move back 3 months with this, maybe we could have done something different. So, but apply this to all the extracurriculars. These kids have to participate in something, whether it's a calculator club, it's a ski club. They all have to participate in something, and that's something we really, as a community, should not take away from these kids.
So these 28 kids were cut because no uniforms?
Predominantly, probably.
Uniforms for 28 kids, but you didn't have the coaches.
Well, there's plenty of volunteers, and there's plenty of good volunteers out there. There's a lot of people, you know, I know it's $200, but there's a lot of guys that would go out there with no problem with coaching. They have no skin. They have no kids there. They would go out and do it.
More kids came out in this particular class than ever before.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
And you have fewer uniforms. Middle school uniforms drop down from above.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just used equipment that brought down, reconditioned, and so on. So those kids are wearing, generally speaking, high school uniforms from the past over the years. But it's a combination of that. I agree with Bruce. I think the coaching could have taken care of itself. Mm-hmm. But again, whether you ever have enough volunteers or not, I don't know. But the issue for me is, and the chair I sit in, is You could have fundraised and supplied perhaps for football, but what about volleyball where you cut cheerleading and so on? Of all the other activities that where there was also a cut, because those we just didn't have those teams. We just did not fund those teams. That's a whole different issue. I don't know the best thing. I mean, every parent, you know, my son was cut in eighth grade in basketball. I mean, it's a terrible night, and I agree with that. And again, I don't like it. I don't like where we are as a district. I don't like where we are cutting back teachers and everything else that we're doing. We have to provide for kids in a better format than what we're doing, because we were there and now we're going backwards. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's where we want to be. And I don't know where the answer is. Fundraising, you know, you'd always have to take a look at how much is needed and go after it.
Right, because I am aware that some of the material is like from 1985. You know, when Coach Powers was playing football, he even said, you know, some of that equipment is still there.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it is traded back to the high school.
And it's,
you know,
reconditioned, and,
right.
And as long as it's,
yeah, and it's
it
still
can
safe,
be approved, it's okay.
It has to be certified.
You know, it has to be certified. We looked at the borrowing. Somebody suggested borrowing the equipment, and that would have been a real problem. That would have been a legal problem for us. I couldn't recommend to the board that we get borrowed equipment. Our insurance company really was not interested in us doing that, just from a liability standpoint. And our lawyer, it wasn't something that they wanted to do in the book either. So, I mean, I think that was a good idea and a great gesture, but at the end of the day, it was not something that I think we would have had some issues, potential issues there, that if a kid got hurt and borrowed equipment, that we couldn't necessarily certify that was, you know, it was safe. I think we would have set ourselves up, and that wouldn't have been good. The issue is providing the best possible programs we can provide for kids and figuring out how to do it. That's the issue, and we're not there right now. We just aren't.
Have you ever discussed an enrolled program, because their school district has grown.
Yeah.
It still keeps kids involved.
It's a discussion they're having right now at the middle school level.
Even high school.
Correct.
High school.
Yeah. High school.
So
just,
even the colleges and the mills are a huge thing.
Right.
That's because they don't have to have representation watching it. We tried that at the middle school a number of years ago. Couldn't get anybody to stick around to the monitor. The other problem is the time. Because you have practice and you're doing it late.
I just had a few things to say about that too. My name is Tanya Knox. I have an eighth grader that got cut from the football team this year. And I did call to get some information on that, because this child started every single game last year as a seventh grader. Did not start a game. And we made a decision. I have a senior at Marysville High School that graduated this year, and we had made a decision that we were going to go on a family vacation this year, and we belonged to a club, and, you know, there was this 1 week, it was the only day that we could get it, and it happened to be football game. And we're on vacation, and my son's getting texts, they're going to cut you if you didn't come to camp. Anybody who didn't come to camp is getting cut. So he's freaking out. We're on vacation. So we get back, and I'm like, you know, that they can't do that. They're not going to cut you just because you did not go to this camp. You know, Ohio High School says that mandatory practice starts August 1st. You know, this is just get you in condition, stuff like that. Don't worry. You started every game. They know you. You're a good player. I'm trying to talk him up. They probably didn't know him because the seventh grade coaches knew him. But anyway, so he does go, and he was very nervous. Dad took him in. Talked to the coaches, told them what was going on, told them about these texts that were coming around, and they assured, you know, that wasn't going to be a factor. And so he went through camp, you know, and was like, yeah, Mom, everybody says I'm going to make it, you know, I'm going to make it, you know, everybody says I'm going to make it, you know, and he's worried about this from these text messages, and this is the first we as a parent have ever heard about football cuts. And I don't know where I missed the boat, if it was published earlier. I just don't know where I missed the boat. But anyways, long story short, eighth grader gets cut, was a starter every single game last year. I called and I asked, you know, Cements for, you know, like feedback on what happened, like why was he cut. He told me he would give me that feedback. He told me that my son was one that they really struggled with whether to cut or not. And but at the end, this decision was made that he wasn't selected for whatever reason. He said that because they didn't let them hit, they basically went on speed, sit-ups, stuff like that. Okay? This is not track or any, you know, it's not about speed. It's about hitting. It's about football. It's about Friday Night Lights, you know? And it's just, I just guess I don't understand. That's one thing. And I'm still waiting for that feedback, and it's been almost 2 weeks. And I've sent 3 emails. And then the other thing that I wanted to is find out, maybe here tonight, is how do we go about volunteering? Because I have twins in the middle school, and I've called and left messages for Mr. Forney asking if I could help out with softball, because I knew they needed a 7th grade softball coach last year. Told him I was interested in that. No calls back. I'm trying to volunteer for that. I went to the softball coaches after the season started and tried to volunteer. Soft toss, do you need, you know, just running stations, whatever. Well, they didn't want any help. I mean, we've got the softball coach out there trying to keep Brooke on first base instead of coaching the girls. I'm going up to her again. Can I keep that book for you? No, I've got it. So you've got us out there. We want to be involved with our kids. We want to volunteer. We just need to know how, because we're trying to volunteer and we're being told no. And then, so I had two different things. I don't know if you have to cut, you know, was there more eighth graders that tried out this year that you had to make cuts on the eighth grade level too?
I couldn't tell you that.
Larry, there was more eighth graders this year than
And, you know, are they not, when they're forced in, their backs are against the wall, and they have 2 days to make these cuts, right? So maybe on a normal situation, you wouldn't judge previous experiences, but because they're having these eighth graders come in, couldn't you have gone to the seventh grade coaches and said, here's what I have, you know, what do you know about the, we can't see them hit. Who were your hitters last year? Who was aggressive? You know, maybe kind of got some of that feedback from the seventh grade coaches, because that component was lost and we weren't able to see that before, you know, cuts were made. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he got cut, he'll live. I'm going to make sure he goes out next year because he's a phenomenal football player. And I'm going to make sure he goes out freshman year. Again, I'm not going to let this get him down. But I guess I don't understand as a parent how you start every single game in seventh grade and you get cut after being looked at for 2 or 3 days in the eighth grade. And I also want to know how I can volunteer my time to help with the athletics, because my kids play. I was going to pay probably $1,000 this year for my kids to play middle school sports, but now I'm
I'll get you an answer on both of those, because I don't have either one of those answers right now. The volunteering to me seems a little, it's really easier for me to get involved there. If you're not getting any answers back, let me know. To volunteer, you got to jump through some hoops, but you know, you have to.
But that would be approved. Left alone with the children, right? Not to.
No.
That's just to be around it.
Yeah. If you're left alone out of sight, line of sight, you'd have to jump another hurdle.
But I wouldn't imagine keeping the scorebook would be.
No. I mean, it wouldn't. You know, it depends on what that is and isn't.
Right.
If you're just assisting the adults, it's one thing. If you're assisting with the kids, it's another. Unfortunately, that's where we are today in society. I don't like that either, but it is where we are.
I like that. I mean, but I ran the CAF program for a number of years, right. And, you know, we make sure all our volunteers
were paid. And we're really sticklers about that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we go through that procedure. So, if we're not going to use you as a volunteer, we definitely don't want you to go through that. But you deserve an answer back. That I guarantee you.
I got to be honest with you. As we move forward, we're going to have to count on more volunteers. So I would be interested to know what that process is, and even from Scott's perspective on if I come to Scott.
A little bit about
well, but I want to hear from I want to hear from Scott. I want to hear from Scott. I mean, I want to hear from Scott. I want to know what Scott's process is.
A lot of it will end up depending on not only the athletic director, but the coaching.
Right.
And coaches, where coaches feel they need, the extra volunteers and those kinds of things. So it's a give and take situation. But if you got somebody that wants to volunteer, if the answer is no, you deserve an answer back. If the answer is yes, you deserve an answer back.
Exactly. I've also had these other experiences. We had basketball. My daughter's coach needed someone to keep the score. I've never kept basketball stats before, but I said, sure, I'll help. She taught me. I did it every game. I didn't need to be...
No, you don't need...
For, or anything
yeah,
like
not,
that.
Not for that. Not for
so,
that purpose.
You know,
for,
I mean,
for a softball scorebook, if you were assisting the adult, you wouldn't need that either.
Exactly. But it was...
I wasn't trying to shut you off. I was.
You gotta get fingerprinted.
Yeah, it's
no. I just want to. I want to hear his thought process when somebody comes up and says, "Hey, I want to volunteer." How does that work?
Every year.
Because I've already been fingerprinted working in the schools.
Every year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to keep track of you, especially you.
So does the volunteer process, does that go through Scott
Pointis
Middle School like it would?
It actually goes through here. But they have to send them up to us. But it goes through this office. We have a lot of volunteers. Lots.
Yeah, and we want to use as many of them as we can. I'm certain of that.
Yeah,
so I want to make sure that there's a place for you that we use. So was there anybody else who wanted to speak about middle school football or middle school sports in general? Okay. Yeah, okay.
Previously, there was just a couple of paid coaches at middle school and the rest were volunteers. When we moved here, that was the way it was.
I had to go back here. And it, when I first came here, which was a long time ago, there were three paid coaches at each but there was no seventh grade football. Eighth grade football, and there were three coaches. Three of us. That's kind of been the standard, I think, overall. It really kind of depends on a formula, the number of kids you have out versus the number of kids that need to be supervised and the type of activity that they're being supervised in, how dangerous that activity is.
And whether a volunteer can be
And whether you can, if you want to move a volunteer in, sometimes we have six coaches at those levels.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was three, then it was four, then it went up to six, then it went up to eight, then it went back to six.
Yeah,
plus
I think it's...
You need...
But a couple of them are volunteers. I think four are paid or something like that. I don't even know.
There's six paid total. I think there's four volunteers.
But
for a team that size, you need a bunch of volunteers.
You need a bunch of volunteers just because of the type of activity that it is.
You need to keep occupied. You can't have them stand alone.
Right. Well, again, I appreciate it. I agree. I definitely understand what the issues are, and I'm not going to disagree with you on the issues, because what we need to do is really decide what it is we want, and then figure out a way to get it, and that's going to take lots of stuff, because as you can, we've got lots of needs, and the further we get down the pike, the larger those are, and the harder it is to recover. It's kind of like, how long do you keep your car? The sooner or later, you're going to end up paying a lot for that replacement. So that's kind of where we are with a lot of things at the moment. Thank you very much.
All right, so if we're done with middle school sports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, yes. Next up, Gene Miller from the Hope Center.
Hi. Gene Miller from the Marysville Area Ministerial Association and Pastor Agape Community Fellowship. I'm actually going to turn the time over to Pastor Jessica Schultz, who has just recently been put into place as the Executive Director of the Hope Center, and so she'll be doing the presentation.
I would Let me start by saying we have met. The last time they were here, what we said is that we would continue to work with them, and we felt that something in the end was workable, that they would come back. And that's kind of where we are. We think that what Gene and Jessica have provided to us makes sense. They've gone through a lot of public presentations now, and they have support. We're convinced that their support is legitimate for you as a board to enter into a lease of a public property to them. That's kind of where we are. And I would recommend that we do that. I mean, you won't get that lease tonight.
Okay, that's forthcoming, though?
That'll be forthcoming.
Okay.
But I wanted you to hear them first before we enter into that final lease. But that's kind of where we are. Last leg.
We just wanted to provide a snapshot of the project and where we stand to date and be able to take any of your questions. And it's been many months since we've been before you and wanted to make sure that we answered any of those questions, addressed any of those concerns, and gave you an update on the project that continues to be rather fluid as things of this size and nature tend to be. So we felt like it'd be important to do that. So we have engaged the Building Hope campaign. Our slogan is One Unique, Life at a Time. And as a community center, hope to develop programs and ministries that address a wide range of needs from people from all walks of life and ages.
Do we see your children?
My kids are kids. Aren't they precious? My baby starts kindergarten this week, so I'm a little weepy. I was crying in Creekview earlier today, so one going to Creekview and one starting kindergarten, the middle ones. I have a vested interest in our school system. Just want to give you a snapshot of the financial standing. The Ministerial Association, who is the 501c3 holder, and oversees multiple programs, serves as an incubator for different programs, ministries, and ideas that will improve the quality of life here in Union County and in Marysville. There's $70,275 cash on hand. For 2011, meaning that we have pledges coming in through the end of the year, another $37,342 are pledged to date. Church donations and pledges are totaling $26,000, and we expect to see for 2012, you'll see we're entering a different fiscal year for most churches. 2011, so far in in-kind donations, we can document about $75,000 just from local businesses, professionals, and the like. So our assets at the moment are $133,617, and just to give you a snapshot and put that in perspective, the lease that we're looking to sign with you is $65,000 per calendar year, and our estimated utilities based on the building's previous use are at about $60,000 a year. So we feel like we're in a good position already to enter into the lease with the anticipation that we can maintain those bills and be a good sublease for you. 2012 projected financials. These are based some on pledges that have already physically come in. As you can imagine, there's a wide source and ranges of the way people are giving. So the projected, these are based in real numbers, but we use the word projected because it's not actually physically handed to us until that time comes. We expect to make $46,500 off subleases. Some of these programs have the ability to pay into their overhead, whether it's entirety, the cost of the per square foot, or to a certain percentage of what they can manage. So we expect that, $46,500 just in 2012. The individual donations and pledges are estimated already to come in at $65,000, and we'll enter into another campaign season in the spring. 2012, we expect church pledges to be at a minimum of $35,000. Many churches have not met yet for 2012 budgets. We'll expect to hear from them soon. Another $75,000 in in-kind projected donations as some of the big hurdles are cleared when it comes to building those big ticket items that come at the beginning. We'll see some of that diminish. We'll be writing an average of $300,000 to $400,000 in grants every year. And
what type of grants?
A wide range, everything from foundations,
a lot of church denominations. One of the advantages to the Ministerial Association is we can go after dollars that typically the county has not been able to go after, which are faith-based funding sources. Ohio has two of the top three highest foundations for faith-based organizations giving hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year, but we don't see any of that kind of money come into Union County right now. I think that that number is very, very low, but the way that we kind of presenting this to the counties, again, you can never really live or die by grant dollars, but if as a county and as a community, we can commit to the nuts and bolts and buy into the idea of a long-term community center, grants are the opportunities and the places where we can do new ideas, where we can fund programming, where we can buy gear and equipment and do those special things. For instance, one of the grants that's on my desk ready for me to sign is $47,000 in instruments and music teaching staff. And we've got it's very, very possible for us to get the full amount and then write again year after year for more. So we have an opportunity in a community center kind of setting to go after dollars that really aren't being tapped into right now. I think that that's going to be low. I think in our 5-year and 10-year plan, we're going to see a lot more coming from the grant foundation side. But you can't keep the lights on with grants and foundations. That's how you do the stuff underneath the lights that way. So
now, is it that you, because you aren't in there yet, you couldn't write those grants before now?
Many, yes.
Have you written any yet?
Yeah, there's $350,000 in grants waiting for my signature,
okay,
but without an actual building.
That's what
happening.
I mean.
Yeah,
okay.
So that we've got a process underway already for that. The battery just died. That's okay. It's okay. We can
you do the hand puppets? Donna.
Yeah.
You're the tag dancing machine.
Yes. I do.
Do you have
yes.
a thumb drive?
She's got it. It will just take her a minute. It's an important discussion, and lots of people say, hey, can't we write a grant? Can't we write a grant? And the truth is, often, yes, there are grant dollars out there, but keeping the lights on, and as Mr. Zimmerman will tell us, you do not live or plan your life around the grant cycles. The government will change its mind. The foundations change their mind. And what's important to us is that we don't give away our mission or our value or why we exist for dollars. So dollars have to match what we feel like we can manage. There's a lot of money out there if we want to change who we are every 6 weeks or every 6 months. But there's plenty of money that's right in line with the community center, especially when it comes to the youth center, when it comes to some of those minor specific programs, and then the compassion needs as well. So we also have revenue builders. This is a low budget as well, because it will take time to build some of those annual activities. But the cafe as well is expected to bring in and be a revenue builder where we have opportunities to sell product, raise money, but still contribute to the idea of community and helping to build that. The Hope Center is three parts. It's compassion, it's community, and next generation. So you'll see in your handout there with the rendering sheet that we really are committed to making sure that those three things happen, that we're developing programs and ideas that serve our next generations, whether that's tutoring programs, supporting school districts where there's changes, where if it's just spending time with kids who may not have been the athletic ones or who may not have an outlet other places, and then certainly the compassion ministries, which takes up a good portion of that left side of the building. The personal needs pantry, the family-to-family furniture bank, the clothes closet, and are all moving in through the fall. The Union County Outreach Task Force offices and the nutrition program, which includes the community kitchen. I've got little church ladies with big old pots and totes feeding about 100 people a week already without a location. And we expect within 3 years' time to be serving 3 meals a day, 6 days a week. So year-round, so that no one really has to go without good, nutritious food again in Union County. But even more importantly, a lot of our seniors, the shut-ins, some of our disabled folks that just really come out for relationship, for an opportunity to be in a community environment, It's a game changer for those folks that need them. It's pretty exciting stuff. Here for Hope is a suicide prevention task force, and a group that's been working diligently already in the county will move its offices and help us to continue to develop a wide range of support group activities. Whether you're Narcotics Anonymous or Knitters Anonymous, whatever your problem may be, we hope that people can find an outlet for those support groups and activities and things that they scrapbooking and all kinds of stuff. Lots of square footage dedicated to those kinds of activities, which is also can often be a revenue builder for us, that making rooms available for those eight groups that are able to afford $30 or $50 at a time could help us contribute to the overall sustainability of the community center. So that is just a snapshot, the youth center. The Agape Community Fellowship of Marysville is a sublease that is important to us because they're certainly friends of the Ministerial Association, but are taking on a more commercial rate for their space and allowing us then to be able to afford more square footage and to help other ministries maintain their space.
Now, it was my understanding when we talked about this, mm-hmm. I don't know, whenever she was in it, I thought the seniors were part of it. I thought the seniors were going to be in somewhere.
That's one
in
of
here.
Those updates. The seniors' day facility, after negotiating with the state and codes, that's a whole other Ohio code, the space that we thought would have been right for them was really not cost-effective to renovate the restrooms. There's that preschool kind of kindergarten space, mm-hmm. but they're block wall bathrooms that are not handicap accessible. Uh-huh. So making that upgrade kind of put the project out of reach for them, and their funding, shocking, changed as well. And from what they were expecting to be able to fund those types of that type of program. So the senior piece across that front there,
that's the
there's an open
right there, right?
space, and we're in conversation with other entities, a developmental disability day program, some others as well, about what might be the right use of that space. Is it leasing to some local counselors that might be looking for more office space? Really, we felt like the project was so immense in the beginning, and we had so many ministries and programs and ideas we're already committed to, that we didn't want to be maxed out day one, that we wanted to be able to adapt and to develop new programming as needed when we understand what the needs are in the community. And I think that we'll find some things that none of us really expected. When you open the doors in a building like this, the kind of demographic things that we'll learn about what people really need. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful space. The music room is in that hall with the lines already on the chalkboard and things like that. So there's a lot of potential in that square footage, and I don't think it will take us long to identify. But I, a couple of months back, said nothing new until we get what we have already established and well taken care of. Because a lot of these programs that have been around longer in the county, we're helping upgrade a lot of things, whether it's computer tracking, if it's, you can't grant right without information, so how do we get that information, and helping to strengthen all the organizations across the board and make them more efficient and more effective is a task in and of itself, and if we can do that and steward those opportunities really well, that'll open the door for the right ones and the rest of that square footage. This is a more detailed snapshot of the map that you have in front of you. It shows where those programs will go. You'll see the top right-hand corner, the larger, newer gymnasium, a couple of classrooms and office and storage space there are the dedicated youth center space. That is an exciting, exciting opportunity for our community. We believe it'll help us to address some of the changes that we're seeing across the board, create opportunities and places for young people to go to avoid those unwanted pregnancies, supervised care, and really doing that with excellence is requiring a significant financial undertaking, but we believe if we do it well, it can last. Even things like safety, the cameras, checking in and out, coming through a kiosk system, kids having badges, parents being able to log in online and do permission slips, those kinds of tools can really make that a lasting program and not something that's cool for a couple of weeks and then phases out. So So we're excited about that space and what it will do for young people, how many we can handle at a time, so that when in between sports seasons, when all of our kids are not on the fields like mine are tonight, they'll have somewhere to go. The blue space is the space that Agape is subleasing from us. The purple spaces represent more community space, the meeting rooms, the cafe, the Esperanza Cafe, which is Spanish for hope, and the AV-equipped kind of meeting rooms with flexible space for different kinds of groups, parenting classes, things like that. There's a boardroom designated. That's important because as we help these programs and dreams come to life, that the potential that already exists in our county, often one of the places as the 501c3 that we can come along and help them to develop sound fiscal procedures, develop strong boards, and that's one of those, it's not sexy, I often say, but it's critical to the success of these types of programs in the county. And as the county continues to grow, we're going to need those kinds of opportunities to grow with them. So that's a small square footage, but I love that it's at the heart of the building because it really is an important piece of the future of the community center. Down the left-hand side there is the compassion space. It's where all of those compassion programs will move into. And related activities, the computer lab. We've got computers sitting in storage, ready to go. Just need to get them moved in. And there is one space still open in that wing as well to develop other ideas and programs should they become necessary. That front office space there is where you can find me. I spoke to Ms. Hackett the other day, and she said as long as it's me, she's okay with it, that I can use the office. So we're excited about it and want to answer any questions about the layout and the programs that are moving in to date. Looks good?
That looks good to me.
Yeah? Do I wanted to give you a snapshot of our ever-fluid timeline? We would love to sign a lease with the school board by September 1st and begin the process of occupancy permits. Each of those programs will apply for them separately based on what they need. And so that will take some time to process. Our offices could move in very quickly, but a lot of these programs will require specific things. There's some fire doors to upgrade, some minor code meeting standards that we need to go through, so that fall will be the window where we achieve those goals to allow those other programs to move in. With the kind of capstone being opening the youth center in time for Christmas break, the Pregnancy Care Center will tell you that in February they have their highest number of pregnancy tests because kids have been out of school for the 2 weeks ahead of that, and we'd like to see very quickly that number change, that dynamic change. And so our goal would be to do some soft openings with the youth center in November, allowing youth groups to test the systems, let some people borrow the space, and make sure that our systems for safety and security, and kids are like water, they'll find all the cracks. So we want to test those systems and hopefully have our youth center up and running for the Christmas break and begin 2012 with hopefully a game plan and breathing. Maybe somewhere in there we'll lay down and take a nap. Yeah. Or maybe not. We'll see. That's our timeline that we're hoping for. It's the last slide, I believe. Thank you for considering this opportunity. And
just answer one more quick question. No, there's never any quick question.
That's fine. I never quick answer, so you might want to. Yeah.
You guys had an open house here not that long ago, correct?
Can you just give us
a brief kind of... How'd it go?
Fantastic. The timeline has not gone the way any of us really anticipated a year and a half ago, as things with these never do. I'm being generous. We've been about two years. Yeah, by the time we sign papers, hopefully we'll get under the 2 year mark. We've had a couple. The first day at about midnight. A month ago, I put out an email just to my listservs of community leaders and agencies and emergency assistance people, and we had dozens and dozens. We did not sit down for 10 hours the next day. People just showing up, Judge Ufinger and John Gore and teachers and just people across the board that were part of that list. And people left crying, smiling, excited, happy,
It's really when you see the building in this light, to see a building that's so important to our community already, it holds value to a lot of us, especially that neighborhood. But the opportunity and the potential, just people are blown away when they begin to see what is possible with the square footage and what's there. It's really amazing. We had 3 days warning and advertising for a Sunday,
right.
And we had over 225 people that we could count.
Wow.
Show up that afternoon with threatening rain and all kinds of things. And again, people just taking quick tours through the building, getting a snapshot, an idea of where we were headed, and people left just thrilled and really buying in. And that's what it's going to take. This community you were talking about earlier, we've got to decide what we want. What is the quality of life? What are the kinds of things that we want available to our residents? We're not the Marysville of 20 years ago, and we won't be the same in 20 years. What are the things that we are willing to kind of pony up for and commit to? And I think our community is getting it. They're seeing that this is valuable, that there's a way to do this that can be cost-effective, can be efficient, can be valuable. But it goes way beyond the dollar figures when you see what's possible when people just live in community together and they have an outlet and a place for those things to happen. And we have a community that's full of potential, full of just wonderful gifting and ability, and often just need a place and an outlet for that to happen. We have people who will volunteer if there's a place to do it, and they know how to do it. I'm like, I got a place, and you can volunteer. If they won't have you, I will, as long as you're not a sex offender outside. we have assistance to that. Missy Fusan is our volunteer coordinator. She's come on. We have lots of professionals that have come on board who are doing really important work for us and not taking a dime for it and waiting for the day that maybe someday we'll have a staffing budget, and we will, and we know that those days will come. But it's really a wonderful opportunity, and we're seeing really positive feedback. Even when the people sometimes come in and go, I don't know why we need this, or I don't get this, or I don't get that, and that's fine. The tough questions are what help us understand our decisions, help us make sure that our plans are sound and that we're not missing things. And I haven't had anybody walk away from me with that same attitude. And I don't think any of the other leaders and staff have as well. People get it when they see it. And I hope you do too.
It was really nice. We went over for that day. It was
Did you
nice
see
to
it?
Go to tour through. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of hard not to dream big when you see it.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Right.
Video coming. There is a video coming.
Well, we will look for it.
The tech people tell me it's coming. I haven't seen it yet. But
well, very good. Well, I'm certainly very excited to see that thing get up and running.
Yeah.
I think it's something our community definitely needs. So, and I certainly appreciate your passion. I thought Carla gave long answers to my questions. But you got her beat.
There's more of these if anybody else.
The meetings have lasted 2 years, right?
Yeah, actually, this November will be the first that we walked through the building initially. And
I know, but it lasted that long.
Right.
That's right. Exactly.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can't argue against the passion. That's
There's no doubt.
Now if you know what's good for you.
Yeah, we've learned that a while.
All right. Next up, we want to talk about our.
Click on that.
What we've done is we will enter into the lease. You will approve the lease at the last meeting.
September.
But we don't have the September meeting.
Right.
I mean, they're actually going to move in ahead
of
time.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we're okay with all the. I mean, again, that's how we've done it in the past.
We wanted to proceed that way anyway.
No, so I just saw a September 1 date.
So for clarification for us, you're saying that once we're ready to file for the Chapter 34 and the occupancy for the overall building, we can go ahead with
all of that.
We'll have the lease approved then at the next meeting following it.
We'll have the lease signing ahead of that, but they'll approve it.
We will approve
it. It's been through all the sifting anyway.
So we'll do that prior to us hopefully September 1st.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Now we're going to move on. Okay, next up is Tracy, Cindy, and I went and interviewed a couple of different folks to help us with our superintendent search. We talked to Jack Marsick, we talked to OSBA, and then we talked to the Educational Service Center of Central Ohio. I sent you all the meeting notes. And really, I got to be honest with you, Jack's not going to be able to do it because he's got another project. And I'm just going to give him my own opinion. I'll ask Tracy for hers. But as we talked to him, it just seemed to me that the ESE folks kind of fit a little bit more into what we were looking to do. I think they were both doing an outstanding job. I just think, in my opinion, that the ESE folks were really kind of the direction that you know, after talking with everyone, that we would want to go.
I agree. What they proposed and what they have provided seems to be exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they just seem to kind of line up with our questions and with our structure. I mean, if you want to add into anything in that, yeah. You were certainly there. And you've certainly gone through your fair share of superintendent searches. So so I think I would recommend that would be the direction that we go.
What do you think, Cindy?
You're the veteran.
I think they'd do a good job. I'm disappointed that we can't get Jack, but yeah. I think they'd be better in the other group if they got more to offer, I think. They're more willing to do more up front with groups than what OSBA was.
I agree. And Jack is available to do I think we talked about doing the board leadership training once our new board came on board and kind of doing everything with the superintendent together, and I think that's something that he would be excellent at, kind of go pretty in-depth, a little deeper than maybe some of the other groups would do.
You might even want to talk to him about some of the prior to doing with the administrators and the board on what you want out of the new superintendent, too.
Oh, doing a profile?
Profile. He said he would do that, too.
I thought the ESC said they would do that.
They'd do a different type. I think Jack's would be more psychologically in-depth than what the ESC would do because of the type of work that he does.
All right. So
a psychological survey of the superintendent.
Yeah. I'm sure that the administrative staff wouldn't like that.
It's a different way of doing and looking at it.
Yeah.
We should ask the administrative staff.
They might like Jack doing it.
Our administrative staff is very familiar with Jack Marsick.
Yeah.
He's a good man. He's good. He's a straight shooter. That's for sure.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. And I talked to the board president out at Worthington who's been used ESC, and he was blown away. I mean, I think he's been through at least one other superintendent search, and he was very impressed by the whole process, even the follow-up after.
I can be honest. I mean, I think I was pretty impressed when we sat down and talked with those. They sent three of those guys to sit down and talk with us, and they were all...
They've all been superintendent.
Yeah, I mean, they're all a real, they have a very clear process that they go through, and it's, you know, clearly they'll tailor it to, you know, if you want to do a hybrid, you know, if you want to be targeted or not targeted or however you want to do it. But they seem to have a lot of, like you said, a lot of the front end work. They want to bring in different, you know, they'll help you bring in input from many different groups and kind of help you consolidate that. And they'll do as much or as little as you want.
And they had a lot of experience with different, like with school districts who wanted more community input, staff input, administrative. You know, they've done all two ones where they didn't want any community input. They just wanted to go and get it done.
Yeah, they did one in like 2.5 weeks.
What was that, Licking Heights?
Maybe it was. They needed someone like right now, and that's...
Well, that's where the Worthington's...
Right, yeah. I was going to say, they created their own work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stole.
Is that what?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding.
They knew what they wanted, and that's what they got. So, so I mean, did you guys have any other questions? I mean,
the only thing is, did I understand the proposal right? I mean, it sounded like those figures that they had.
They'll waive that fee.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Because we're members.
They'll waive the
$9,000 search fee, but they estimated like $2,000 for expenses.
So at the end of the day, they're probably cheaper than somebody.
Yeah, but you know, a position like that, that's not really something.
Less expensive.
Less expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
Up more dollars for
So what do you need from us?
We have to approve the contract to get in.
But I mean, you need us to give you the green light to go to the?
We have to vote to enter into this contract.
Okay. Well, that's not the way it's worded.
I know.
It can't.
Do you want to change
it? Make it an action item.
Okay. Number 9 is an action item.
Okay, if you
approve the contract for services.
Correct.
I'm okay with, so I so move then.
Okay.
We enter into a contract with these people, and you guys go ahead and get us set up.
All right. I second that motion. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Now I'm going to get a hold of Ralph probably tomorrow, and he's more than likely going to want to sit down with the board in probably the next week, 2 weeks at the outside. So I'm going to contact him, and then I'm going to contact you, and I'm going to want to know when you're going to be able to meet.
Like the last 3 weeks I've had board meetings with High Points right into another.
Right. So you should be used to it by now, right?
It is.
So that will be forthcoming. All right, next up is... moving our board meeting dates and modifying our board policy. Now move those, the first two I move forward to the follow up to the Thursday, and then the last two I move backwards because one's Thanksgiving and one is Christmas. Is that doable from your end? I mean, I want to make them run.
Yeah.
Is everybody okay with that? I mean,
I like those. Yeah.
Okay. Is it okay with you, Roy?
All right.
That would be a yes. That was a nod.
That was a nod. Okay. And then the other one was to just change that board policy. Instead of 48 hours before, it would be the Friday prior to the board meeting. Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
All right. Then let's vote on the first one then.
But is that doable from you guys? Friday?
Oh, yeah. Friday because you're...
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
Thursday.
We suggested.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to a Thursday meeting, Friday, end of the week is a good end to the business that would go on. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have some addenda that would occur, but not as much. And what it's going to give you is going to be give you the weekend to take a look at it, and it's going to give you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to ask questions.
Right.
That's what you don't have now.
Right.
By having a Monday meeting and getting the agenda on Wednesday, a lot of times you're out of town, you know, look at it until weekend, and then there's not enough time to ask questions.
Right.
So this is what was suggested last time. I think it makes some sense, actually.
I think it's going to work out pretty well, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right, then number 11, then, I move that we approve moving the board meetings as listed A through D for the rest of the year.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Then, of course, the next one then is to accept the board policy revision stating that our board materials will come the Friday prior to the board meeting. Any motion to approve that, please?
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 13, staff resignations. We have one resignation from Connie Smith, Nate at Edgewood, that I recommend, and that position will be filled.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Fraser.
Yes.
Ms. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 14 is supplemental staff resignations. You have three there. Rob Hildreth is marching band. And you'll see later on where somebody's picking up that percentage. Aaron Reif as high school class advisor for 2012 class, and resignation of Connie Smith as webmaster for Edgewood.
Is Rob just not doing it anymore?
Rob kind of gave his portion of the marching band to Steve Fan.
Oh, I see.
I imagine he's still going to be involved.
I can't imagine. Gotcha. Well, I just can't imagine. That would be a huge loss for that band.
Good work.
So.
But there's one fewer person.
Right.
So they've kind of assigned the funding of that. because there's one fewer band supplemental contract.
Correct. Yep. Okay. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Rossiter.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Item 15, recommend the following individuals be approved on one-year limited contracts for the 11-12 school year. And again, this is a contingent on verification of teaching experience and some of the background information, but that's all in now, so those are non-issues.
Yeah, so there's only one teacher on here, right?
One teacher, correct. Craig Connolly is a teacher at the high school already funded through Delaware County. He's JAG. Through work, some kind of work study, and he's going to work then the other half is an aide. But yeah, just one teacher.
Yeah. No questions, I need a motion to approve, please. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second, roll call.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Supplemental contracts, item 16, outlined below are specific recommendations related to employment of certificated and non-certificated individuals in supplemental positions for the 11-12 school year on an as-needed basis. You'll see that some of these are booster paid. Those are positions that were eliminated that the boosters are picking up.
Yeah, I appreciate you noting those. To be honest with you, it's nice to see which ones are, you know, which ones are actually picking up. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 17. You have two items on there to amend supplemental contracts. One is. B is the band director position or assistant band director I talked about before, and one is for a middle school assistant that was actually placed at the wrong step.
Oh, last month?
Last month, correct.
A motion to accept that, please.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraser?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 6 or 18, district substitutes and home instructors listed below are substitutes and home instructors recommended for employment for the 11-12 school year, again, on an as-needed basis. And classified and certified. And one home instructor.
Any questions? So moved.
Second.
Moved to second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 19, our district volunteers recommended to recognize the following are volunteers for the 11-12 school year. And again, we recognize the volunteers so that they can be covered under our liability insurance.
Get a motion to accept us.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 20 is the 2011-12 district bus routes and stops. Each year is recommended and required that the Board of Education approve district stops and routes for the current school year. You have that recommendation. You have all those routes and stops there that we've been working on for a long time. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, we've gone to 31 routes, down from 40 at one time. So we just keep trying to push into a bottle. I'm not sure we're going to be able to do it, you know, with the challenges that are there. But we're going to try.
Can we have Amy Morgan come and give us a presentation, or, you know,
sure.
Like some, like maybe the next meeting or something?
You can. Next when?
You know, one of the
upcoming
meetings.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they go through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the software that they use, to be honest with you, kind of how they figure all that stuff
out. You don't have that much time.
Okay, then. Maybe a PowerPoint of the software.
Perhaps you can tell us about it.
It's great, but again, it's very complex, but it really has allowed us to reduce down and stack routes and do those kinds of things. I mean,
yeah, every year it seems like she keeps finding more and more.
Yeah, we're down two buses from where we were a year ago. So, actually three. We started with 34 last year. We're down to 31 to start this year and have more kids. But we are challenged. I will tell you that right now. We're full. We're getting pushed. And the phone calls are pretty intense. The congressmen are getting to know me regularly because people are funneling my name up to the congressmen's and trying to get them to change my mind on where we have these bus routes and so on. I think it's interesting because it's really your decision. It's not, I mean, we have to provide something that's state law, but it's a local decision how it's carried out. But people want transportation if they want it and if they need it. And even if they're inside the 2-mile limit, they still feel as though they want it.
Sure.
And we can't provide it. We can't provide all of it. So we are challenged.
When you say we're challenged and you don't know how we're going to do it, what are we going to do, have some kids not making it to school or what?
Well, you may have some kids that parents will have to figure out how they're going to get their kids to school. Yeah.
So, I mean, but we should know that now.
No, those kids, not necessarily. It depends on whether they've told us they're going to be at school.
I'd say I'd probably find out on the first day of school, I imagine.
We have a lot of people that move over the summer and or have a different babysitter. The babysitter's inside the 2-mile limit, and because the parent lives outside the 2-mile limit, they expect that you to pick up their child at that babysitter's house. With inside that 2-mile limit, we just don't do it. And they're angry. They just are. Trust me.
You heard?
I have. So it is a challenge, and our buses are full anyway. And if we don't know where those kids are, if we can accommodate them, we will accommodate them. That's always kind of been our rule, you know. But right now, we don't. Our buses are full day one. And if we get more kids added on to there.
So you think it's possible we may have to add another route
back? We may.
I think what's exciting is to see what happens with the switching. So all the Creekview kids are going to be on a bus. And the
Creekview only.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have some Creekview only routes. Right.
Yeah, which.
First time.
I anticipate leaving a lot of problems. You know,
leaving problems.
Alleviating.
Yeah.
I think leaving problems.
No.
It must be that cold ears, I think.
Sorry.
No, I have balls
in my mouth.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, our premise has always been, as soon as you get the kids on the bus, you want them off. Because
right.
There's fewer issues that are involved. The longer the kids are on the bus, the more issues are potential. And we just want to get them home.
It's like a linear regression.
Yeah, it's not good. And then that causes
time
issues.
And problems.
It causes issues the next day. The principals are busy.
So when you say 2-mile radius, we're talking about individual stops. We're not talking about the group stops that we still do within.
We don't do any busing inside the 2-mile radius except for Mill Valley. And I think we have one at Scott Farm. And we may have some out Milford Avenue that we've determined as dangerous.
Because they don't have to go. Some have to go on Route 4.
Correct.
Or whatever.
Yeah, they don't. There's no way, good way for them to get to Edgewood or to Munsell. So, I mean, we've determined some of those areas inside. But for the most part, if you're inside that 2-mile limit, you're a walker or a get-to-schooler somehow. And not everybody's happy.
This hasn't changed since last
year. It has not changed at all. That has not changed in 3 years.
Just different people are affected by it.
Different people are affected.
Yeah.
Correct.
More
people are affected. I don't know where we are in numbers. It seems like we're up. Mm-hmm. That's the feel I get, but I don't know. We'll know that Wednesday how many yahoos actually show up.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate that, you know, Amy and Steve's work that they
do a fantastic job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, it's...
And Mike. I don't want to leave you out of it.
They do a nice job. But it is, it's something that we just got to keep watching.
Okay. There's no more other questions on that. I need a motion to approve, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 21 is bus driver physical and drug test provider. As in the past, we use Occupational Health Center and Memorial Hospital for that. Again, bus driver physicals are required, and they are also required to have random drug tests.
And then that fits in with what we did the last time with seeing those drug tests immediately?
Correct. Yeah. If there's an issue with that, we
right.
see it immediately.
Right. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
One item real quick. I'm working with the county and the city on consolidating our IT departments.
Oh, yeah.
It's an outgrowth of the sharing group that we've had in the past with Fairbanks and North Union. You know, we'd buy Fairbanks and North Union's paper and then sell it to them. It saves everybody money. It doesn't save us a lot of money. It saves them a lot of money because they get in on our deal. But out of that grew ways to continue to consolidate and grow consortia. And what we'll be announcing soon, and we'll give you a plan. I think we're going to house the IT departments for the county and the city.
Wow.
At the old middle school. And for us, it's about an $800,000 savings over time. Altogether, it's a little over $2 million savings for all three groups. We'll all have a common help desk. We're all going to buy common servers. They're going to use our fiber network, and we'll charge them back for that.
We have bandwidth for that, right?
Yeah, we have bandwidth for that. So I'll let you know on all the details, but we are working out of
How did you arrive at the $800,000?
We just went through and looked at what our costs were and what costs we could eliminate.
So that would go through what we pay Trekka?
No, this would be what we would typically be paying ourselves, not necessarily through Trekka. We still have to go through Trekka.
It's our help desk and our server support and all that stuff, right?
Correct. And server
James.
Purchasing servers. Those kinds of things, because we would be, county needs to do it anyway, we would just upgrade our server capacity.
Now, would we absorb some of their people for that, or?
Right now, we're not going to, they're going to continue to pay their people
right.
individually.
Uh-huh.
In the end, it may make sense for it to be an entity itself, mm-hmm. but right, that's further down the pike.
Gotcha.
For all of us, it's a big savings. And I'll step you through all where those savings are coming.
That's pretty exciting.
We've done a lot of work. Steve Stolte, Andrea Weaver, and John Gore have been primarily involved with us and all the IT guys, too.
No, those guys.
Right. You got to throw them in.
Those IT guys.
They have to meet separately. Right?
Yes, in a dark room.
Absolutely. Throw them a bone every now and then.
Exactly.
They're talking different languages.
Yes, they do. All right, well, I'll ask one more time if anybody wants to address the board before we go into executive session. Okay. If not, then we're going to go into executive session. There'll be no action afterwards, and then we're just going to go home. So
moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session at 8:55. Whew. I gotta stretch.